My name is Max Carney, and well, we want to make it a little bit funny today with a lot of songs, a lot of stories, how we celebrate Christmas in Germany. And I think it's in some parts very similar to your Christmas in the United States, because the German immigrants brought a lot of customs over to the United States. So you will recognize a lot of your songs, but well, you will listen to the German words then. I want to start with a very famous song, O du Fröhliche. I don't know what it means in English. O du Fröhliche, O before we celebrate the Advent time and Christmas, we have in Germany three very interesting and important days during the last 40 days in November. We call those days Volkstrauertag, Buß- und Bettag und Totensonntag. And you know, November is a very dreary and very sad month. It rains often, and well, the people are very close together. So on the first Sunday we call it Volkstrauertag, and that means mourning day of our people. We remember all the soldiers, all the people who died during the last world wars. And there are special celebration days outside on the cemeteries where people gather together and make little worship services. And especially our church, the Protestant church, was asked in the last years to say well, statement for peace and justice nowadays. So these are very important days before we begin to celebrate the Advent and the Christmas time. The next day we celebrate is Buß- und Bettag, that means
Repentance
Day. That's a special Protestant church day, Repentance Day. We have a special worship service. It's on Wednesday morning. It's a day off for everyone in Germany. And well, there we try to repent what we did on wrong or bad things, especially during the World War I and World War II times. And the last day before we start Advent time is Totensonntag, the Sunday for the deaf people, where we remember all the people who died during the last year in our church. So I think it's important to tell you that before we try to celebrate very happy days, very happy Sundays and happy worship services, we try to remember all those parts of our history and all those parts of our personal story which belong to us as well, the days for mourning and the days for repentance. When the Advent time starts?
Well, there are maybe some customs you don't share. We do not exactly know what you do in the Advent time, the 4 weeks before Christmas. One of our most important things maybe is, what every family has, is an Advent wreath. We have this in our house, you too. So, and we lit a candle each Sunday, and for the children, I think, when I remember that for me as a child, this was a very, very nice thing to see one candle after another lights the room. And the other thing is that this is another, I think so many Christmas things are connected with your remembrance of your childhood. And the other most important thing for me as a child was this Advent calendar. Maybe you have that too, that you open a little door each day, every day. And now people have these nice ideas. When you have a good friend, you and you want to present him a gift, you do a line and you hang little parcels on the line for every day one. And in the parcel there are small gifts. And then you can hang this from one side to the other side of the room, and you have a real very nice present for the whole Advent time. I think this is a very nice idea. And you can as well, what some families do, and I think this is very nice too, you make these this line, and for each day you write a little wish, or you write a little small gift you want, or something you want to share with the person, something you want to give to the person. Maybe it's a story you want to tell your children, or a day off, or a free time from the household work. And you can share this with your friends or with your family, and to have this each day.
We buy some branches of the Christmas tree and we decorate our homes then. I think you do it much more decoration in American homes, they told us here. We put them into vases. And then it's a special time to make cookies and to make cakes. These 4 weeks, we have very famous German cookies as well. You have American cookies. We like to taste this December. We have a special cake. It's called, you know what I mean?
The
Stollen. You know that?
Yeah.
It's with a lot of spices and It tastes very well. So we have special services every Advent Sunday, mostly for children. And we sing two songs. I think you know the songs. The one is Macht hoch die Tür. That's open the doors, because the Lord of Hosts is coming. And everyone enjoys and is delighted because he comes into our houses. I think you know this song. That's an old one. Macht hoch die Tür macht weit. Es kommt der Herr Herrlichkeit. Ein König, ein Heiland aller Welten, der Heil und Leben mit sich bringt. That's our most famous Advent song. You use it as well in the United States? No? Not? No? And then we have a modern one. It was written by Jochen Klepper. He was a Protestant theologian, and he married a Jewish woman in Berlin in the 30s of our century. And then they tried to put the woman and the children to a concentration camp. It's a very sad story. And then the whole family killed themselves, and he wrote the most beautiful songs. We sing them in our worship services during the Advent time. And the song I love best is Die Nacht ist vorgedrungen, and it means, well, nearly the night is over and the daylight comes. Now we will sing a song for the morning star. Even if you have mourned and cried during the night, now be happy, because the morning star gives you new hope and defeats your anxieties. And I like this song very much. It's beautiful music. Die Nacht ist vorgedrungen, der Tag ist näher. So sei nun besonnen dem hellen Morgenstern. Auch wer zur Nacht geweine, der Stimme Trum in der Morgenstern beschadet auch deine Einheit. Very meditative song, and we like this very much. So we have Christmas Eve, as you celebrate in the United States. We have several worship services, normally at 3 o'clock for parents with small children. we make some special music for the children, some little performances and special songs for the children from 3 to 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And then we have a big family worship service at 4 o'clock in the afternoon in the congregation where I serve. It's from 4 to 5:30. And sometimes we play a cradle play, you know that? Yeah, where the kings and the shepherds and Mary and Joseph come and cradle, yeah? And make a celebration. And last year I wrote a special cradle play. I got the idea that when Jesus was born, all the other people he was going to meet in his life, his disciples and, well, Mary and Martha and all the other people, were children as well. And they gather around a fire and they have special gifts. Well, you know, Zacharias, he was very geizig.
He wanted to have all the money.
He wanted to have all the money, little man on the tree. Yeah, so I try to show, well, special persons, the man who wants the money and Martha and Maria, the one who works very much and the other who's very lazy. And the children meet around the fire and they tell each other, well, we never will change because we are certain persons. And then they go to Bethlehem and there they notice that the Redeemer will come who's able to change them when they are grown-ups. So we played this with our youth fellowship on Christmas Eve, and I think the congregation enjoyed it very much. And then we have at 11 o'clock a so-called Christmette. It's from 11 to 12 o'clock to the, well, Christmas Day. And there we have meditative pictures sometimes, or slides, as we did it here, and a special sermon for the adults. So that's our program from our congregation, for the congregation members. And at home?
I think that in Germany, Christmas is a special family festivity. And we feel sometimes today that it is too much family-centered. And after the service, everybody goes into his own house and stays there with his own family. And my remembrances as a child are very happy ones. I love this very much. This was really the most important day of my life, I think, Christmas Day and Christmas evening. Today we feel sometimes that we are too self-centered with our way of celebrating Christmas, that we only share it with our families and we do not think of those who live alone or those who are ill or those who are unhappy. And I think this is a special German trait, to stay within your family. We feel that our people are very family-centered. I think that you may have this over here too, but maybe you have more of an open house.
And the congregation members have a special connection to Christmas. Most of my congregation members never go to worship service during the whole year. That's our custom. That's special, sad German custom. But I come on Christmas Eve. So people I never meet, I never know, so they come to our worship services Christmas Eve. It belongs to their feelings, it belongs to the atmosphere to go to the worship service on that special day. So, well, I'm sometimes very concerned and sad about that. And I really don't know what I have to preach on that evening. Will I criticize them or will I say the good news only to them? So we started some years ago to prepare with a seminar the people to get involved much more in the Christmas matters, and we invited them a lot of evenings before we celebrated Christmas to look at the Bible, to read certain Christmas stories out of the Bible, to learn how other people in other countries celebrate Christmas. We have a close connection to South Africa because a friend of mine is working in Namibia, so he told us how the people in South Africa celebrate Christmas, what their problems are. That the people get a wider view, and not only the familiar view on Christmas and a very cozy feeling, that really Christmas is a feast, especially for the poor ones. We have little booklets, I've seen them in the bookshop here as well. Jesus ist geboren, Christ is born. And then we try to talk with our confirmation classes and with our youngsters, that the angel at first came to the poor shepherds. They weren't allowed to come into the towns. They didn't have any family. They didn't have cozy places, but they were the lonely people in those times. And we try to compare them with other lonely people in our country and in other parts of the world. So that's a part to really invite the people to take more part in our Christmas tradition, Christmas celebration. Yeah, what are the families doing in the evening together?
Well, to draw an idyllic picture, I think of a typical German Christmas, maybe that it's exactly the same as you have it over here. After the worship service, the Christmas tree is lit. Maybe this is different. We have a real tree in our home, and most of our families have real candles, not these electric ones. So we have the smell, beautiful smell of this tree, and the candles in our rooms. I like this very much. Well, and then all the presents and gifts and letters from friends are lying under the tree, and the children's rushing.
And when little bells ring.
The little bells ring, yes. And in the evening, well, the family sits together, and when they are not sitting in front of the TV, they play together and talk together and enjoy their
like some games.
Their games, yes, and their presents.
Have a special meal. We have, I don't know how this big fat fish is called, Karpfen, as it's in German, the big blue fish.
No, that's Norwegian.
I don't know his name in English. You know Karpfen in English? The big fish, Karpfen?
Carp?
Carp? Yeah? Is it a carp? Yeah? No, I see, thanks. Or they eat a goose on Christmas Eve. That's very famous German tradition. They eat ham sometimes on the first Christmas day. And fondue is now very famous for the whole family, cheese or beef fondue. They eat a lot. And then they read the Christmas stories again, the family. I can remember that my father always read the Christmas story of Luke, chapter 2, to the whole family. And then we were used to sing a lot of German Christmas songs, and we will do this now. Alle Jahre wieder, that means every year the Christ comes and he goes with his blessings to all people. That's a very famous German Christmas carol. Alle Jahre wieder voller Hass Christus auf die Erde wieder, wo wir Menschen sind, kehrt mit seinem Segen ein in jedes Haus. Auf allen Wegen mixt ihr hier ein und aus, ist auch mir zur Seite, Lob und unerkannt, dass er treulich leitete an der lieben Hand. And then we have another song, the Christmas tree is light and the candles burn and it's very cozy atmosphere. That's typical German, I think. Am Weihnachtsbaum die Lichter brennen, es glänzt fest und mich, als Sprecher wollte zu mir erkennen, getreuer Hoffnung. Then you know this. The tree, he's green, and our hope will last like the branches of the Christmas tree. And then Stille Nacht, of course, very famous. We sing it at the end of our worship services.
Stille Nacht, heilige Nacht.
bell is ringing and we celebrate Christmas times, all the angels are singing because they enjoy the birth of Christ. Süße die Glocken, die klingen, als zu der Weihnachtszeit. Süß, als ob Engel ein Ziel, wie sie gesungen in Silbernacht. We have days off on the first and second Christmas day. That's typical German, I think. We have two celebration days on Easter, on Pentecost, and on Christmas. So, two holidays. And, well, when I was a child, we used to go to the worship service on the first Christmas day. That was really the celebration day, not Christmas Eve. But nowadays, the people come on Christmas Eve to have a cozy, fine, comfortable worship service, and really nobody goes on the first Christmas day to our worship services. Sometimes you have 30 or 40 people there sitting, very tired people who stayed up the last night. And we have special sermons there at both celebration days, and mostly on the second Christmas day we have a family day where the people bring their presents and we talk about the presents, sometimes even during our worship service. And those days are very famous for visiting the celebration, visiting the whole family. So we invite the grandmother and grandfather, they come, or we go to them. So there are big family days as well. Perhaps
when do you open the
presents? We open the present Christmas Eve. Christmas Eve after the worship service, so at 6 o'clock in the evening when it's dark outside and when we lit the candles on the Christmas tree, then we open the presents.
You don't open any on Christmas Day?
Then? No.
This is our Christmas Day.
Yeah.
And I remember as a child, one of the most beautiful parts of the day was when you went home from the worship service and it was dark outside, and if you were lucky you had a bit of snow, it stayed maybe just for 2 days. And then you walked home and you saw through the windows all the Christmas trees alight. And then you walked home. This was a very peaceful part of the day. And we loved that really very much.
Sometimes we children were asked to say some poems under the Christmas tree or to read the Christmas story or to play some music on the piano or with the flute. I think that's a special tradition as well. And perhaps two or three other songs, and then we can talk about the problems of Christmas in our country. That's Come Shepherds, Men and... I think you know the song is Men. Men and Women, come to the child. Christ is born today. Don't be afraid. Komm, die hier Hürden, ihr Männer und Frauen. Komm, das liebliche Kinderlein schauen. Christus, der Herr ist heute geboren, Jesus zum Heiland heute erkoren, Christus gehört euer Lieb. In a very old Christmas song, there is a little tree growing, like the prophet Isaiah said, and this little tree will bring peace in the midst of the winter time. Es ist ein Rosenschimmel aus einer Rosenzeit, wie uns die alten Sünden von letzter Zeit. Mit dem kalten Wind. last song, we sang it at the Vesper. That's a well modern song, the Gloria in Excelsis, you know. We use this as well at home and the worship services. Seht ihr unseren Stern dort stehen, helles Licht die hindunkle Nacht, Hoffnung auf ein neues Leben hat in die Liebe. Talk about Christmas as a problematical celebration?
Well, there are people in Germany who say Christmas starts in September when you see the chocolate Father Christmas in the shops, and we feel that every year it gets a bit earlier when they start to display Christmas things, and we think this is terrible because all the festivity and all the joy and the happiness that is connected to the Advent time and especially as a child, which is concentrated on these 4 weeks before Christmas, we get the feeling that with every year, this is a longer time. And I think that even in September they start this big business, Christmas. And in the grocery stores you see all the sweets, and in the department stores, toy department, they start displaying all sorts of toys, and the children are invited to come to the department stores and play with all the toys. So then they really get spoiled, and they have such a long, paper list. With wishes, a list, and every year the number of toys seems to grow, and they invent all sorts of things, especially for this day, we feel. And when you go downtown to our city centers, you really get the feeling that they use Christmas in order to sell everything, and that you are priorly addressed as a consumer, even in Christmas time. And we are very sad about it. And now that we have children, we feel that it is very difficult to avoid this. You don't live alone on an island, you live in this society, and you have to find a way how you celebrate Christmas that it is meaningful for you and your children.
So we are really forced to buy something. There is a very funny poem, it goes like that. My father gave me a little present for $4.50, and I gave him a little present for $3.75, so I had to get anything else. Something else, and that's a symbol for our way most people celebrate Christmas. They look to the presents other people gave them, and they feel responsible to give them presents back, so that's really sometimes a pressure.
And then you think, who else has to have a present of me? And then it becomes a real duty to go downtown to buy something. And we feel that this is not the spirit you should live in during this time. And another very important problem, I think, is that even for Christmas, people choose war toys for children. And we have a special initiative. I think it was started by Conscientious Objectors, and they had the idea to have, especially during Christmas time, in front of the churches, they have tables, and they invite people to come to them and to trade their war toys into other toys. And they have leaflets they hand out to the parents and to the adults and even to children. And they try to explain what it means to use these toys and to play with them, and what it really means to people when these toys are serious weapons.
So we discuss alternative Christmas celebrations. Some congregations invite people who are lonely on those days, and that's a problem really, because they feel double lonely when they see how the families come together, and perhaps they don't have no relatives anymore. So we try to invite them to a celebration to come together. Older people or people who feel lonely, we try to invite them in our families. We try to avoid too many gifts sometimes, and we make some gifts by ourselves, some handicrafts much more, or well, little gifts like I give you a special day off for your friends and we celebrate it together next year. So these are some kinds to make an alternative Christmas celebration. We have our Christmas tree sometimes until New Year's Eve, sometimes until the 6th of January, that's the holy three holy kings. Some people have it until the 2nd of February, that's a special Catholic celebration day, Mary's Light we call it. And then the Christmas tree comes to the garbage.
What I feel is, in a way, an understandable development, but in other ways I think it is sad. There are some people, young people, who say, well, I really hate this time, and the best way is to avoid it and to go away. And then they go skiing or something like that, or they go to sunny places down the south. And I think it would be better to find a new way of celebrating this time, so that everybody can stay at home and can have, well, can see that this that Christmas time can be a very meaningful time, can be a time where you come together in your congregation, and that you don't have to go away, but that you can find new ways which can be very meaningful for you, and especially during a time where everybody tends to be a bit sentimental and maybe a bit more open to other people. You should take advantage. This is maybe a negative expression, but take advantage of this time to find out new ways of living together in your congregation. And maybe that the church can find new ways. But as Max said, I think it is a very difficult task to do the worship service when so many people come on that day and you never see them again. So you really think, what can I do that this day is so meaningful for them that they come again? And the feeling that you just celebrate something for them, that they have a good feeling, the music is so romantic and the church atmosphere just belongs to the day, and then they go and you never see them again till next Christmas. This is, I think, really a problem for the church, and this is what he has to deal with. Hmm.
So I think it's very important to discuss with the people what Christmas really means, that God comes into our world, that he wants to live our life. And I think that's very important to discuss that with people, show them pictures, and really to try them to tell that it's really a gift of God this day, and not a gift between persons or human beings. Yeah, that was a little bit our story about Christmas, but I think you have a lot of questions, I hope.
Is it a custom in Germany to... this would be sometime before Christmas, ahead of Christmas. Do you have a Father Christmas who comes and brings just one gift?
Well, we have Saint Nikolaus.
Yeah.
He comes on the 6th of December to the children. And for the good children, he has some small toys, not very big toys.
Yeah.
Some sweets or so. And for the bad, he has the... Switch, but he doesn't use it.
Why the
6th? That's the day where we remember this special person. It was Nicolaus. Saint Nicolaus,
yeah.
And he was very kind and friend to the children when he used to live.
Well, the reason I wondered was I was over there, I think it was 6 years ago, and I was there 2 months,
mm-hmm.
And I left the 15th. I couldn't remember which day it was. But my son was stationed over there. He was attached to a NATO command.
Mm.
And right across, they were large apartment buildings, and right across from the apartment we were in, there was a family, and it was an American father who was in the military and a German mother.
Mm.
And they came over with these gifts over to our place and asked if at a certain time in the evening we would go over and leave them by the door and knock and then disappear.
Mm-hmm.
And I never knew after I left there if that was a German custom or if it was some...
That's
usually you,
the
day before in the evening, the children... They put their shoes in front of the doors, and the next morning, and some parents tell them just put a carrot in it so that Saint Nicholas can feed his horses, and in the next morning then there are sweets in it or something.
And the carrot is away.
To punish them, but now with the anti-authoritarian education, I think you will always only find sweets.
But I can remember I was very disappointed when I found that carrot in our bathroom the other day. So it was a sad event in my childhood. Yeah.
Now that another question I think that comes to my mind now, it has really changed now that we have children. What we feel now is what are these traditions should we teach our children, and how should we teach them Christmas? We have not only Father Christmas, but we have also St. Nikolaus and den Weihnachtsmann, Father Christmas. And who brings the gifts, Father Christmas or Nikolaus?
Well, Father Christmas doesn't bring the gifts on Christmas Eve.
Oh, wow, this
Germany.
Is different. I was told that it was Father Christmas. So it's very confusing. And some parents tell their children today that it's them that give the presents. Mm-hmm. There is no story around it, no fairy tale around it. And I think that nowadays it's a bit more it has become more difficult what to tell your children, whether you... really try to invent these stories. So.
Mm. I think we have the same problems here. It's very commercialized.
Oh yeah.
And I know that I have really felt sorry for my children because I was raised in a small town way up in the mountains, something like this, where you didn't get all that commercialism. So your Christmas was absolutely beautiful. And like you, we had a green tree that we went out, the whole family went out and cut down this tree and brought it home. My folks would completely decorate that tree on Christmas Eve after we went to bed, and there it would be in all its glory on Christmas morning. Mm. And then, you know, our gifts were gifts from the heart. Mm. And when by the time that my children were growing up, we were in a larger town, and it was becoming so commercialized. And it isn't the same.
We have the same problem here, though. I remember being shocked when they decorated the stores at Thanksgiving. That would be like November the 24th.
Mm-hmm.
But now, I don't know when they start.
Halloween.
October.
There was a gal at either breakfast or lunch today that said she had seen a Christmas display in a store. Where was that? Just within the last couple of weeks.
See. You're right after Easter when they made in all the eggs. This is Easter and Christmas.
We have some shops that are Christmas shops all year round. And Christmas ornaments, you can go in there any time of the year and buy stuff.
We saw that in Ohio, and this astonished us very much.
Yeah.
We don't have this in Germany, maybe within the next 5 years. We have this too.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
You stated that not a whole lot of people came to church during the year, and then at Christmas everybody and their brother came. Is it the same in East Germany?
It's comparable.
Uh-huh.
I think that there are less people who go on Christmas Eve to the church because, well, some really belong to the Communist Party and they don't want to have any connections to the church there. But that's really a funny custom we have.
They come here.
It's just like ours.
Yeah.
They come to Christmas and Easter.
Christmas and Easter and confirmation.
Yeah.
The other highlight. In the Netherlands, they get their presents at the 6th of December, all children, on St. Nicholas Day, and they don't give presents on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. That's not that bad, I think. So, I think it's a good idea to keep all those gifts away.
One thing that a lot of churches do back home is they'll have a 11 o'clock mm-hmm. service in the evening. You do not?
Oh yes, we do. We do it 11 until 12 o'clock. Sometimes with a communion celebration.
Is it candlelight?
Sometimes in the old churches they do it, and you see the people who go to worship service, they prefer to go to old churches then from the Middle Ages, and not to my modern built congregation center.
Yeah.
So
I feel the feeling.
Yeah, it's the feeling and the organ music and the candlelight as well. They like that, so I really don't know what Jesus thinks about it.
Do you have a children's Christmas Eve service? Mm-hmm. Maybe I missed that part.
Yeah, in the afternoon we try to make some a cradle place.
We call it nativity place.
One nice thing we do here, I think, and I was wondering if you do the same thing in your country. And that is the newspapers have drives, and people send in money, $5, $100, and by Christmas they have, you know, several thousands of dollars that is given to the poor.
Oh, I see.
The
newspapers do this as well mm-hmm. in Germany, and some organizations like the Red Cross or mm-hmm. like the Diakonie, that's the part of our church which works with poor people or elderly people. Yeah.
A couple of things they do in our community in line with that is the large tree in the courthouse, and the welfare services has gotten the names, and if they make ornaments, the 4-H children make ornaments, and then they put the name and the age, just the first name and the age, and two or three things they would like.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes from infants up to elderly people, and sometimes like elderly people would enjoy a poster. Maybe they would like some nice tea or coffee, you know. But you can go and purchase things, and you're asked to wrap them really nicely. And that's one way that I try to bring more of the meaning of Christmas home around out of, by going to the tree and picking out ornaments and making a big deal of selecting something really, really special for somebody who obviously wouldn't have it. And then also our community does this dinner for people who are mm-hmm. alone, and you're encouraged to come and help like you would here in the kitchen, you know, just doing mm-hmm. your time and doing the dishes or cooking the food. So I think that's like what you were saying, only it brings it more closer to home instead of writing out a check and sending it to a organization mm-hmm. for their expression, you know.
I was just going to say that our community has a holiday meals also, not
yeah.
just Christmas, but Easter mm. and Thanksgiving also. Mm. And anyone is welcome who is alone, and those who cannot come out to the meal, those meals are delivered to them.
Nice.
And at Christmas time, people make gifts or businesses donate things, and then those gifts are given to each member that comes to the meal, whether they're poor or rich or whatever, whoever is there.
Yeah, we really try to tell the people, take your time in the Advent and Christmas time with your family, with your children, come to our meditation services, let's talk about the meaning of Christmas for us. We have every Saturday evening Advent time the shops are open. You have it all the year round, but in Germany the shops normally close at Saturday at noon, at 1 o'clock. Then they open at Monday morning again, so all the shops are closed. And well, in the event time, the people go to downtown and to the big department stores and buy a lot of gifts and presents. And then we tell them, when you bought them, come to the congregation for half an hour and let's sit together and talk about what you did this day and what the meaning of the Advent time is. And I think that's the first step to a new, a better understanding of Christmas time.
But I mean, when you really go downtown during the Advent weeks and you see people in such crowds and nobody looks happy, this really depresses me. It's like in Kuyanis Katsi, so in that film, I think that some of you saw that. It really makes me so sad that this is possible. In the most important time of the year, people get so... They seem to be so unfriendly because it's so crowded downtown. Everybody rushes. Nobody has a smile on his face. And this is such a contradiction to the message of Christmas that I think you really have to try hard to find new ways, not only to do some little efforts to change it, but I think you really have to change it from the bottom. It is nothing when you only go and buy things. And I don't know, the first time I had the thought, would you like a Christmas without any gifts? Would you really like it? I said no. And I was so appalled by the thought, because it really seems to belong to it. And now I sometimes think we should really try to do it once. Really say no to all these things, completely. And to try to be creative, to do other things with our children. Maybe they resent it at first sight, and they are angry with us, but maybe we find we have gifts in ourselves that we can find them during these 3 days, and show our children that we can do other things than just buy and then play with these prearranged things.
And do you exchange Christmas cards?
Not that much
not
as
that
you do.
Before
we came to the United States, members of the congregation where we serve now in Ohio, they sent us a lot of Christmas cards, people we didn't know at all. And that was nice, I think it was a nice try to get closer to each other. But we don't send cards, we don't do it. Some of our friends do it. But I think that's special American tradition.
Yes.
We don't have these shops where you have aisles and aisles and aisles
cards.
Of greeting cards.
Yeah.
We love them because they are so funny sometimes. Mm. So some of them are very good, well made.
It's become very commercial, you know. We have
a bit too much.
Cards and father-in-law.
Yeah.
For everybody.
Yeah.
And after Christmas, they're half price. That's when everybody buys their Christmas cards for the next year because they're half price.
Yeah.
With your session yesterday on the peace movement, do you find that more and more churches or pastors or leaders are willing to talk about peace issues also during the Christmas holidays? I mean, given that that's the time of the Prince of Peace, I mean, are people not wanting to listen to that at Christmas? Is there a willingness to grapple with war and peace issues around the holidays?
Well, there is a willingness from the pastor and the minister's side. It's sometimes hard to get the people involved who are so busy with preparation of Christmas Day. But that's a good question. We try in our sermons to talk about peace in the world. There was the message the angels brought to the shepherds, Frieden auf Erden, peace in the world. So we try to discuss this, and we try to think it over, what it means for us, for our responsibilities towards the third world, for example. So in the Advent time, we collect special money for the people in the third world. We go from house to house, from our congregation. And I think it's a good question. We can improve this, to go a step further to the real heart of Christmas and the meaning of Christmas.
I mean, maybe you can prepare people for that. I think now to come to the Christmas Eve worship service and then to have a sermon only on this issue, it might be really a shock and people might be angry. But I feel that this is one way to get over these other problems we mentioned. And maybe you can prepare people. This might be a way that you, during the Advent time, you have report in your church paper, and you inform people about your problems as a minister, and that you really want to do something meaningful, and then this might be a way to do it. I think this is, if I were a minister, I think I would really try hard to do it that way. Although it means a lot of work with your congregation.
Yeah.
As a child, we had Christmas candles on the trees. But don't you have a lot of fires? I mean,
not that much.
So
no, everyone has a basket of water beside the tree.
But do you have smaller trees then, or something? Because
oh, sometimes you have huge trees from.
And they have that many candles.
Yeah, from the bottom to the top.
But you only put them up right at Christmas then, because we put them up ahead sometimes and get dried out. So yours isn't put up to Christmas, maybe that's safer, I don't know.
Usually from the 24th of December to the 6th of January. This is,
and you light the candles?
Yeah, every day.
Yeah. In the afternoon.
Ours were lit when I was a child.
Yeah.
We had real candles, yeah. Real trees, and
it smells beautiful.
Yes, it
yeah.
does. And of course, you don't, like we have our tree lights on a lot during the Christmas season. The candles, you would light them on Christmas Eve, and then you might light them again for special occasions, but you don't leave them, you're right there all the while you have them lit.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But you get used to it. I mean, so you teach your children how to handle it, and so
we have powerful fire marshals in our towns. I really think it was sort of a paranoid thing, don't do it, and so it became a rule, like you can't have fireworks, you don't have candles in your trees.
It's a rule with you,
yeah. Yeah, almost in some places, I don't think it's a hard and fast rule, but it almost is that.
But I remember almost every Christmas there would be a tragedy
reported
from candles on the tree.
Mm-hmm. No, people are very careful.
I think it's a long year.
Yeah.
In the apartment I live in, I can't even have a real tree. Mm. We're not allowed.
Not allowed to.
Do you have artificial trees in Germany?
Yeah, they have artificial.
We had a big discussion just last year because so many people are concerned now with our dying woods. And then some asked, should we have this, if every German family has a real tree in this house, this is an enormous number. And we felt, well, with our dying forest, what should we do? But then we got some information that these trees you have, usually they are supposed to be felled. Yeah, ill, or they need the space in the forest, so there's no...
You have tree farms, so we have a lot of trees.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But some people say that these tree farms are not good for the soil. So that it would be better to have not a monoculture on it, but all sorts of trees, and that
and thin it out.
Yeah,
yeah.
And that maybe we should change our habit. But the Germans, they would have had a very, very hard time to change this habit. It is so important to them.
Some people decorate their Christmas trees every year in a special manner. So some year they do it in violet with violet candles and violet decorations on it, and the other year in red or with straw stars one year, and we like to do this as well.
I think it's a very nice custom when you with your children or with your friends or with your family, when you do some decoration, handicraft things for the Christmas tree during all the time. And some people even, they build their own clipper of cradle and have these trees and shepherds, and they do it themselves, and I like the idea very much. I'm not that gifted, but I would like to do it myself.
Hmm?
Do you have choirs at home? Like our church, the week before Christmas we have three choirs and they all sing a concert.
Well, we have choirs, yeah, not that much as you have. I think usually your choir sings every worship service, not in the summertime perhaps, but during the other weeks of the year. We don't have that much. We have a choir in the congregation where I live, and that choir sings about three or four times a year, or five times a year. But we have very great music performances from our community, for example. The Bach's Weihnachtsoratorium, Christmas Oratorium, is performed then. But we don't have that your choir goes sometimes to the hospitals as well, I suppose, and sing there. I think it's sad that we don't have that.
Do you have atheists who get concerned if they're saying, crash of, the nativity scene at public places? No, we have problems with this, and if it's a tax place where it's owned by taxpayers, there are atheists who are very concerned and want them removed and don't want them set out and so on. Do you have any problems with that?
No. No. Well, even the people who don't believe in Christ, they celebrate Christmas more or less.
Well, buy presents and so on.
Yeah.
Mary and Joseph.
In our community, some of the Jewish people
were opposed to having Christmas things in the schools.
Oh, I see.
Even snowmen, they consider, I mean, yeah, Christmas tree, they consider those symbol, Christian symbols.
Yeah.
And it's caused a lot of problems.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's different in Germany. Everyone likes Christmas time, even if they don't believe in Jesus Christ. It's so cozy and it's nice to go to the shops, so they wouldn't oppose.
You don't have many Jews left.
No. No.
Okay. I'm just thinking of the variety of different faiths in the United States. I don't know if it's always just atheists, people who have different beliefs.
Jehovah's Witnesses.
Yeah, so there's a variety, and then there's people speak up in it.
That's the difference, oh yes. Yeah.
I think that sometimes too, sometimes the difference in the different Protestant denominations, some are more conservative, some are more liberal, they have a problem with things out, put out too.
Just a question, what I would like to ask you, have you ever discussed it within your church with your minister to find out ways to have another Christmas? Or have you ever discussed it with your minister or as congregation members?
Yeah.
Yeah? And what did you change then?
It lots of times is discussion. And that's about it.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the big things is since I've been a child into now is the becoming stronger about what Advent is and that Christmas does not start until Christmas.
Mm.
And that goes with the church here, that this is Advent, not through Christmas, you know, in the sense that it's early Christmas and late Christmas. That, and so there's that a lot more in the church.
Mm.
The Christmas decorations don't go up till Christmas. You know, they've got the four candles and so on. And when I was a kid, I don't remember it being quite so. I guess, you know, does anyone else have that feeling? I feel like it's one way the church is saying, hey, we want to slow down this commercialization of Christmas.
Mm-hmm. I think it's for me anyway, growing up, my parents didn't take us to church that often, Christmas and Easter and confirmation, yeah. So I'm more aware of Advent now, and that's something that they're bringing out more, like you say, that Advent is very important, and trying to emphasize that that's not the Christmas part, but, you know, other.
We had, in our church we had a catalog they made up of gifts that people could donate money for, like a pair of oxen in India, or a pair of shoes in Sudan, or and as sort of an alternative to just getting and getting to share with other people.
That's great, toys and food for people who can.
Yeah.
Candy goods, that's
something
that
we
do. I was wondering, the way you describe your Christmas seems like ours is more simple. I mean, you don't have what we talk about, Nicholas having another special day besides Christmas Eve, and he brings little gifts for everyone, and then all the little gifts. I think the tradition is beautiful, but I was wondering, I don't know this would be, if ours would be a little more simplified.
Well, I think mine's very complex because my mother got her presents on Christmas Eve, and my father got his present on Christmas morning, and then the idea of the 12 days, so we get presents on Christmas Eve and Christmas morning for 12 days. You know, it really gets complex. Trying to keep traditions going or changing.
Of course.
It depends on the family, I think, a lot.
So when you come from different backgrounds, you then try to pick up the ones that you each feel are most important and work them into your own family.
Yeah.
It's difficult sometimes.
Ours is traditionally Scandinavian and Swedish Christmas, so we have lutefisk and boiled potatoes and rice pudding and that on Christmas Eve. And then on Christmas Day, but our family is together all the time. And I had an Irish daughter-in-law who was a Catholic, and she wants her gifts on Christmas morning. So it gets prolonged. They get some on Christmas Eve, and they have to save some for Christmas morning.
You have a last wish for a special song you would like to hear again, which I didn't play, otherwise. I think we sang the most important German Christmas songs for you. Thank you very much for coming.
Thank you.
And